Good morning. The sermon today is on gluttony. How many of you need that message after Thursday? We are thankful, and we are stuffed. We are blessed. This month we have been studying about Thanksgiving. And as you read through the Word of God, particularly when you have a specific word in the back of your mind, you're just amazed at how many times that word keeps showing up. And that's God's way of reminding us that He does have a message for us to learn along the way. It's interesting that when we talk, as we're going to be talking about the subject of peace offerings this morning, that there are 80 different verses that speak to the subject of peace offerings. And peace offerings actually are divided into three different categories. The first is a thank offering, or an offering or sacrifice of thanksgiving. And this is that which is given in recognition of unmerited or unexpected blessing. The second is a votive, or a vow offering, and it is given in payment of a vow. And the third is a free will offering, which is given as an expression of irrepressible love for God. In the passage that was read in your hearing, all three of those are addressed, and we'll be talking about them as we move along. Paul, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee of Pharisees, studied at the feet of Gamaliel, knew well about the Old Testament and the sacrifices and offerings that were represented there. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see how he draws that in, as do other writers in the New Testament. So this morning, we're going to be looking at that subject of what it looks like when we bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving, when we offer thanksgiving unto God. We are not used to, obviously, as New Testament saints, bringing a sacrifice to the temple, putting our hands on it, having our hand on the knife that goes in to shed its blood and see the blood sprinkled on the offering. We're not used to that. Because we are in the New Testament and the perfect sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been offered and His blood has been shed and it has covered our sin, we have the peace of knowing complete forgiveness. And so for that, we're so grateful. But there is an image that I want us to see as we go to this subject of the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So if you look with me to the passage that was read in your hearing, there in Leviticus chapter 7, it says this is the law. In other words, this is the guidelines. This is the direction of how a sacrifice of peace offerings is to be offered unto the Lord. In verse 12, if a person offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. It's interesting that in this sacrifice, we're going to see in this verse the subject of unleavened, and in the next verse, we're going to see leavened. Unleavened, a symbol of the absence of sin, leavened as the picture of the presence of sin. In the Jewish feast of unleavened bread, part of what they did prior to the Passover was to search the house to eliminate any yeast, any leaven that might be in it. And the bread that they partook of was unleavened bread. This unleavened bread is anointed with oil, if you please. Olive oil that's placed upon it. And this picture I want us to see is coming to the Lord's presence with worship and bringing this offering before Him. Verse 13 says, besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And as he is offering this sacrifice of thanksgiving, though it doesn't expound on it in this passage, if you track this through and look at the others, you'll see that what is being spoken of is this individual has brought a live animal. He's bringing this live animal to be an offering, and that offering has to pass the test that the animal has to be without defect of any kind. It must be unblemished, brought before, approved by the priest, before it is offered as a sacrifice. He must put his hands on the head of that animal, which says, I identify this animal as my substitute. It's in my place. And then he must put his hands on the hand of the priest as the knife is thrust into the throat and the blood is let and caught. And then the priest is going to take this and he is going to put the blood on the altar. He's going to process, as it were, the animal. And then he's going to bring an offering. Two different kinds of presentations are presented. One is a heave offering, in which a portion of the sacrifice is heaved. Think about heaving it up, raising it up before the Lord. And the other is a wave offering, in which it's waved back and forth before the Lord and also before the people. As we think about this, this is foreign to us, very foreign, and I'm okay with that, okay? I'm just real happy that this isn't a slaughterhouse, that when you come in the morning, you don't bring your animal, and I have to be there to kill it and to clean it and to wash it and to offer the blood. How many of you are happy that you didn't have to do that this morning? But it was real back then. And as they went through this process, the process it's described is a very serious one. In verse 15, let me go back to verse 14. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering. That's what's raised up before the Lord. It shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood. It's given to the priest. He takes it for his food. Verse 15, the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. In other words, it's going to be taken and it's going to be eaten on that very day. And for the thanks offering or the offering of thanksgiving, all of it must be consumed in the same day. Now, you guys know that I'm a little strange, but the motivation for this service came as I was deboning a turkey. And I almost named this message, Picking the Bones Clean. Because what was involved in this process was the whole critter was to be eaten on that day. Part of it was the priests. Part of it was the offerers. Part of it could be shared with others that would be invited in. There's kind of a little imagery of how you bring neighbors in to eat with you at Thanksgiving. Now, I want to ask a question. This is just a off-the-record poll. How many of you are thankful for leftovers the day after Thanksgiving? How many of you want to eat it all the first day? You don't want to have any leftovers the next day. Okay, well, there they, with a thank offering, they had to eat it all the same day. So if you're going to eat it all the same day, what you can give to the priest and what you can take home to eat in the same day, it would be a motivation for bringing others in to clean it up, wouldn't it? And also to share with them that this is indeed a thank offering that you're giving to God for unmerited favors that he's blessed you with. As we think in terms of offering that thank offering, we need to ask ourselves the question, when I come to worship God, is that the attitude with which I come? Do I come with an enthusiasm to bring before the Lord and to present an offering unto him? Do I want my praise and my worship to be offered and lifted up before God? Do I want to share the blessing that has been shared with me with others along the way? Or do I want to just get in and out and be gone? It makes a difference what our attitude is, what kind of a blessing we receive from it. Verse 16, but if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow, a votive offering. I told you that there were three different kinds. This is the second kind. A man is fulfilling a vow, and so he's bringing an offering in fulfillment of that vow. God, I will do this if you will do that, and you have honored your word, and here I'm honoring my word, and I'm bringing that to you. Or if it is a third kind, the third kind would be that which is a special free will offering, that is a voluntary offering that's given up. On those two offerings, you have 2 days to eat it, not just one. But on the third day, what do you do with the leftovers? You burn it, okay? And basically, the imagery in other passages, you take it outside the camp In other words, you take it outside and you incinerate it. You get rid of it in the process of doing that. So there's a message that I think could be kept here if we would think about it. We need to keep our Thanksgiving current. Amen? It needs to be up front, today, right now. Well, I gave the Lord thanks last week. I'm done for next year, till next year. No. It needs to be a current thing that we're doing as we pour out our thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now, I want you to look at verse 18. If any of the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings be eaten at all on the third day, what's it going to hurt for me to eat some on the third day? Well, I come back to where we started in verse 11. This is the law concerning how you bring your peace offering. This is what God has said. But how many of you can see somebody thinking, man, I hate to throw that out? That'd be a real waste to go burn that outside the city. But it says that if any of that flesh is eaten on the third day, it shall not be accepted, neither shall it be imputed unto him that offereth it. It does not go to his account. God is not given any credit for this offering that is offered. If, in fact, it has now been eaten on the third day, it shall be, in fact, an abomination, and the soul that eateth it shall bear his iniquity. God's rule is very, very clear. But I want you to look on. I had to stop there, but look at verse 19. And the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burnt with fire. And as for the flesh, all that be clean shall eat thereof. If that flesh, that offering, that sacrifice you brought in, if you dropped it in the dirt, you can't clean it up. You got to pitch it. It's got to be burned. It's unclean. It's not an acceptable sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 20. But the soul that eateth of the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings that pertain unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, even that soul should be cut off from his people. This person comes in to bring this offering and sacrifice, but he comes in sin. He comes out of fellowship with God. He comes out of fellowship with his fellow human beings. This person who comes in this fashion is called unclean, and he shall be cut off from the people. Excommunicated is a word that we might be more familiar with. That's pretty heavy stuff, don't you think? Okay? Verse 21. Moreover, the soul that shall touch any unclean thing, as the uncleanness of man or any unclean beast or any abominable unclean thing, and eat the flesh of the sacrifice of peace offerings which pertain unto the Lord, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. In other words, looking at these verses, it is saying that when you bring a peace offering, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, a votive offering, or a offering that you're bringing as a special offering unto the Lord, get your heart right to begin with. And keep it right in the process. To not do so is an abomination to God. And there's no recognition from God of this being imputed to your account. I'm going to meddle for just a second. Do any of us come before God saying we're offering thanksgiving with unclean hands? Do we offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving in a sense, in a picture, in an image, as if we just look for anything to grab and say, here, God, this will have to do for you? You say, well, nobody would do that. I beg your pardon. The book of Malachi, chapter 3, says that's exactly what they were doing. They got to the point that they were bringing sick and blind and lame animals, bringing them and offering them as a sacrifice to God. And God said it was an abomination to him. Well, he gave them the rule clear back here, didn't he? And the danger that we have as New Testament believers is familiarity can breed what? Contempt. Well, I've always done it this way. Okay, if we get in a habit of saying that we're thankful with unclean hands and unclean heart and we're not really right with God, we just go on through the motions. But you know what? That's all it is. We've just gone through the motions. That's a serious thing to consider. We're going to look at something further in application of that at the end of the message, but for right now, let's just think about that. In Psalm 50, verse 14 and 15, and then verse 23, listen in the terms that I'm reading here in this verse, in the image of someone bringing or offering a sacrifice. It says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon him in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation," literally his behavior, his life aright, "will I show the salvation of God." Whoso, whoever it is who offers praise unto God, glorifies him. Whoever brings that sacrifice of thanksgiving glorifies God. But there are rules. There are expectations that God has how we would bring forth that sacrifice and offer it there. And this offering, again, have the image of bringing that sacrifice, having your hands laid upon it, having the blood shed, the blood put upon the altar. Put that image before your eyes. In Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord," listen, "better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves." I will praise the name of the Lord with a song, will magnify him with thanksgiving. God likes, the psalmist says, that kind of thanksgiving, that kind of an offering, better than a blood sacrifice offering. So this morning, we are thankful that we don't have to bring a blood offering, but we can also be thankful that if we come with the right heart before God, offering thanksgiving unto him, he's more pleased with that than he would be if we brought in an animal. How many are thankful for that this morning? And did we come this morning with that spirit in our heart? In Psalm 107, verse 22, it says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his work with rejoicing." A thought occurred to me as I was working on this message this week that sometimes that phrase, the sacrifice of thanksgiving, almost might seem to be an oxymoron. I mean, what an oxymoron is. Giant shrimp, for example. Okay? Seem two totally opposite. And so the question that we might have is, as sacrifice of thanksgiving, how could it be a sacrifice to give thanksgiving? But the message that I want us to see is we need to have a heart that's saying, I am bringing this, as it were, as an offering unto God in thanksgiving for what he's done for me. And when I bring it in that mode, it's more than, thanks, God, talk to you later. There's more of a heart and an entering in into it. Look with me to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 17. "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." The psalmist here is giving gratitude for God's mercy and grace to him. And says, and so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer this unto him. And he did, obviously, in doing the very psalm and writing and presenting it and God preserving it, says that he did do that which was required of him. In the New Testament, we look now to Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll see a picture, a representation, a presentation of the sacrifice of thanksgiving in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, it says, "By him," which means by Christ, "therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Let us offer, New Testament saints, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Again, does that seem like an oxymoron? It could. But if we consider it as an offering, that which we're presenting, a heave offering, if you please, that we're raising up before, we're raising before Him a sacrifice of praise. We are praising Him for what He's done, and the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Him. That's literally going through the day praising God and thanking Him for His mercies to us, whether anybody else likes it or not. Most of you know me well enough to know this, that one of the things I believe very strongly is that we as believers have allowed ourselves to be shut down by the criticism of the world. There should be no reason why any of us at any point in any day when we recognize the blessing of God should not immediately by the fruit of our lips give thanks unto the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for protecting me from that wreck that I almost had. Whatever it might be, it is appropriate for us to do that. But we have been intimidated into silence. Well, I can't say that publicly. Somebody might take offense. How crazy. How crazy that we moved in that mode. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18. It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The demonstration of being a Spirit-filled Christian is displayed here. That is that we are overflowing with thanksgiving and worship and praise all the time. You know, a person... Hang on with me here. A person that says, "I am super spiritual," and he's super grouchy, there's a contradiction of terms. Amen? Amen? I've been filled with the Spirit. And you're biting somebody's leg off in the process. Here it's saying the opposite ought to be true. Your heart is singing and overflowing with praise and thanksgiving to God. There's joy in your life. There's evidence. I'm thankful. Yeah, right. Does it come forth out of our lives that we are indeed a thankful people? If not, shame on us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks." Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that you offer continually a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto His name. Raising it up before Him. Offering thanksgiving to Him. Say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't have much to be thankful for." Then you've got a poor memory. Right? You've got a poor memory of all the things that He's done to you. But also, further than that, you've got a poor attention to detail of what your present mercies are that God is currently giving to you and all that He has poured into your life as it is right now. 1 Peter 2:5, "Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now, here's a doctrinal truth. Most of you should know this. If anybody doesn't, you're going to go home with something today. The reality is this. In the Old Testament, there was a legitimate priesthood. The sons of Aaron, children of Levi, the tribe of Levi, that was the priesthood. In the New Testament, every born-again believer is a priest. Okay? We are priests, holy priests. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, anointed by God, commissioned by God, gifted by God, positioned by God, called by God, and we have the privilege, this verse says, that as a holy priesthood, we're to offer up thanksgiving unto God. We're to offer sacrifices of praise and worship unto God. We are a priesthood to do that. In the Old Testament, if a Levite didn't do his job, why did you keep him around? There was no purpose for him. Am I right? In the Old Testament, if the Levites became corrupted, and unfortunately periodically they did, God judged them. Hophni and Phinehas, anybody know those names? Sons of Eli. They were wicked, and God struck them dead. Okay? God struck them dead. We are a holy priesthood. And the emphasis on holy is now we are separated apart unto God. And as we are separated apart unto God, one of the aspects of what our service is to God is to offer up to him thanksgiving, to offer up to him praise. He says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In item number 3 in your outline, I'm giving you particular elements of spiritual sacrifices that we as a holy priesthood are to offer up. Number 1 comes from Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a what? Living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One of the elements of what, as a holy priesthood, we're to offer up is our bodies as a living sacrifice unto him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, what? Know you not, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and spirit, which are his. Now, listen to me carefully, guys, and know my heart. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I am trying to be honest. One of the problems with the 21st century church is that the 21st century church, in America in particular, has forgotten our responsibility as a holy priesthood, and we think it's all about us when it's really all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we think that it's all about us, and therefore if something doesn't work in with our schedule, then we think there must be something out of line, and that's just, this is just unacceptable. You're not your own. I'm not my own. It's about him. And as a priesthood, priests offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what they do. And we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And friend, that's not just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing. Because the Lord says, if any man would come after me, what's the first thing he must do? Deny himself. That's what it means in presenting your body a living. You deny yourself. Well, I've got my rights. I don't think so. As a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no rights. As a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no rights. You have duties and responsibilities that he's given to you, but you have no rights. If you got what you had coming, you wouldn't like it, nor would I, because that would be God's judgment and wrath upon us. But his mercy, as he has called us and he's commissioned us and put us in his service, and we're to offer ourselves up as a spiritual sacrifice. Secondly, referring back to Hebrews 3:15, we're to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's a continual, day-by-day thing, us offering unto God. And thirdly, we're to do good and communicate or to share with others. In other words, as we go about being spiritual and offering thanksgiving and praise to God, we're also supposed to do something else, and that is to do good and communicate or to share with others. James says, pure religion and undefiled looks like what? Talks about having compassion on widows and orphans and giving unto them. That's what it looks like for us to be that. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Demonstrating our faith by our works. James talks about that, obviously, very clearly. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And Paul, you recall, was called by God. He recognized that call that was on him, that he was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. In Romans 15, verse 15, it says, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, reminding you because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. What's Paul saying here? He believes that the call that God had upon him to take the gospel to the Gentiles included the instruction to their lives of how they would come to a point of offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God. Having been saved, now they would enter into that very process of presenting sacrifices of worship and thanksgiving unto the Lord. Fourthly, sacrifice, a sacrificial love for one another. Mark 12, verse 33 says, and to love him, what is the first and great commandment? To love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifice. Christ is speaking here. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered unto the saints and do minister. To minister there is that very work of the priest, how you're carrying out your duties to one another. Offering up praise for one another. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What does it look like as a priest to offer sacrifices to God? Each of those elements is a part of what it looks like in our life. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 was presented in the prayer that Tunis presented to us this morning, which we talked about in a sermon here a couple weeks ago. First of all, says, I exhort of you that you have a responsibility of intercession, prayer, giving of thanks for all men. Supplications included in there for all men. Why? That in doing so, for kings, for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. As we consider offering up a sacrifice of thanksgiving, I ask the question, how is your spiritual life regarding offering up sacrifices of thanksgiving? How are you looking? How are we doing? One of the challenges that is given to us over and over in Scripture, be not weary in what? Well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's so easy to faint in the process of well doing. And the only way we're going to keep from fainting is to renew ourselves to the call that's upon our life. And renew ourselves to our relationship with the Lord day by day, renewing ourselves. To, we are his. He's called us. He's equipped us. He's using us. And as he uses us, it is for his glory. Now, here's the good part. In the process of doing this for his glory, we will be blessed. We will be blessed. To be disobedient, to rebel against that, is not to be blessed. But to be obedient and to walk with him makes for blessing within our life. This month we've talked about Thanksgiving again and again and again. This morning as I close, I want to close with this passage of Scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. We're talking about bringing a sacrifice that's acceptable unto God. It says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. When we began the message this morning, these are the rules regarding the peace offering. This is the law regarding that. And it included uncleanness is not acceptable in presenting that offering. part of what we are privileged to do because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. When we are unclean, if any man sin, what's the good news? We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sin. Not for ours only, but for the sins of all mankind. If you come in here today with unclean hands, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we don't, according to his rules, it's not imputed to our account. There's no benefit that comes. We've made an appearance, but we've not entered into fellowship with God. I believe with all my heart, even if we came in with uncleanness, we can leave clean. And we can leave with God's blessing applied unto our life. I pray that we would all be in that status. Heavenly Father, if we offer unto you a sacrifice of thanksgiving according to your law, it is an awesome thing. And you are worthy of our sacrifice and our worship and our praise continually. The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto you. And Lord, forgive us for all those times when we take your goodness for granted and we fail to give you thanksgiving. Forgive us, Lord, for those times when we come into your house and in some ways it's as if we brought a dead, blind, sick lamb to offer as a sacrifice. It's totally unacceptable unto you. Lord, may we forsake that kind of low evaluation of who you are. And Lord, may we examine ourselves first. And Lord, having cleansed our hands and our heart and our mind and our spirit, may we come. And Lord, may we offer that which is pleasing in your sight. And Father, we thank you for the fruit that will come forth of that to, first of all, glorify your name. And secondly, to bring great peace and joy and satisfaction in our life, that we've been in your presence, we've obeyed your voice, and we've walked away with your pleasure. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful. May we be faithful, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.